Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors, who will offer you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan Moylan here with you, along with Michael Normanton, and also Daniel Chapman, our friend Moscow White as well. We've been shortlisted for the Fan Media of the Year Award in the Football Supporters Association Awards for 2022. That's fun. Looking forward to a couple of shandies there at the awards. Be nice, won't it, if we can go down?
Should be good.
Be shite if we came back empty-handed, because that's happened many, many times before when we've been down. So we need you to vote for us, if you don't mind. It's a public vote, and we know our Leeds fans like a public vote in order to sway outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
We are up against Anfield Rap, who have 500,000 followers on social. It's a lot. We haven't got that many, so no. We need your help.
Such a special club, etc.
Yeah. Category 4 is the one that we're in. Yeah, fan media. So we've set up a redirect as well, which makes it dead easy. Take like 1 minute of your time, if that, 30 seconds. thesquareball.net/vote. Follow that through. Vote for us in Category 4, if you could. And any other thing you want to, of course. Well, do feel free, but don't feel obliged.
Marching out together are in there, aren't they?
Yeah, they're not. It's not a public vote for them, though. They're a panel vote. So hopefully they'll be coming down to London. We'll have some beers and
send them good vibes.
Celebrating together, yeah, definitely.
We'll all send the people on the panel threatening letters.
That should secure it, shouldn't it?
It's one way of doing it, yep.
thesquareball.net/vote. Don't send threatening letters. Right, part one of the show is the latest Leeds United news. Pick the bones from these lot then. Kids lost at Bolton in the Papa John's. We've got a golden willy. No game for the women this time, but there are games on Wednesday and Sunday coming up. Bielsa's been turning down jobs. Kinnear's fighting off against Marsh through the gift of words. We've had sackings as well. No Gerrard yet, but Gary McSheffrey's been sacked, who's a bit of a bête noire for you, Moscow. Goes back to the League One days, doesn't it? And Cody Gakpo /Hakpo is a scum bastard. And Charles de Ketelaer turns out it was rubbish. Where should we go at?
I watched the Papa John's last night. Did either of you?
No.
Sort of on.
It was sort of on. It wasn't quite as gripping as the one at Tranmere when we obviously won and scored loads of goals and it was dead fun. But we should have scored loads of goals in this.
Well, like Tranmere, we conceded 3 goals.
Yes, that did happen. Didn't score any though. Yeah, should have scored a few though. McGurk was basically really good, but was in full Pat Bamford mode of doing all the good stuff, then getting in front of goal and shit in his pants. Joseph put one fairly close to the net. That was good. But yeah, it was a much weaker side than the team that had beaten Tranmere. I mean, the one that beat Tranmere was taking the piss a little bit because it had like Nonto, Gelhart, Greenwood, basically all of our good players. The best players in this one were JB and Perkins, who both look amazing. So get them in the first team immediately, is what I'm saying. Perkins is an interesting one because he looks the most Bamfordy of our strikers, probably, in that youth contingent. In that he's
physique-y and holding it up. And
yeah, in that he's fairly big and I can imagine him doing similar things. I think he was playing a bit deeper yesterday, but I can imagine he could do a Bamford thing if we needed him to. So,
but with goals.
Hopefully with some goals.
How he's distinguished himself this season, isn't he? He scored a lot of goals, that makes you wonder. Team needs goals, best player, some goals. Although not anymore, that's 2 in a row without scoring, isn't it? So finished.
That's true. It is a big drought.
Finished player.
It was also the first I'd seen of that young lad Rob Les we signed.
Yes.
He was in net.
For the under-21s.
For the under-21s last night.
They didn't seem to be respecting him, the kids.
In what way?
Well, he would shout, "My ball," and they'd ignore him. And that's not how I was told to listen to my elders. You've got to listen to what they say and act upon it.
School football, you used to get a free kick against you if you said "my ball." You had to put your name on it. That was the rule.
Well, maybe he was shouting Joel.
Yeah. Joel's ball.
And the kids were just like, "Who's Joel?"
Do you think he goes with Robbo?
Maybe.
Could do. Anyway, yeah, defensively not great, but you know, we don't have a left back and they are genuine children in the defence. It's not like any of them are, well, Cody Drama aside, the centre-backs and the left-back are not anywhere near the first team at this stage.
Yeah, Chris Moore is the centre-back and he looks pretty decent. Morton Spence is a midfielder and has been at centre-back for the last couple of games while Leo Hjelde gets his appendix removed. And I think it was Spencer who just kind of stood and let the pass for the first ball just go behind him instead of cutting it out. But that's all down to kind of defensive instincts not being present in somebody I understood to be sort of attacking midfielder. And he's like, he doesn't know what to do in that situation.
Is the answer to get a left back?
And I guess the other thing he doesn't, well, this is centre back, so it wouldn't solve that problem.
But just get a left back.
Maybe he doesn't know what to do when a goalkeeper is shouting at him either. But yeah, those kind of things weren't very slick.
And we can still qualify though if we beat Crewe, because we've got that game in hand on the Tranmere and Bolton old men. So that's all right. And it's Tuesday the 1st of November, that game. Is that right? Between Liverpool and Bournemouth for the first team?
Yeah, so hard to know exactly who's going to play in that.
And what happens if we go through?
We will be qualifying in second because Bolton have already won it.
Do we get into the Europa Conference League?
We get into the regionalised.
Have we qualified for the playoffs?
For the next round, which means we'll play a team that's finished top in the first round. So only the Northern team. So we will play either Scum or Everton's under 21s, Salford, Lincoln, Mansfield, Burton, or the big grudge match that Moscow will be waiting for, Port Vale.
Oh, stole Leeds
City's, too much history.
Well, stole Leeds City's place in the Football League.
103 years ago this week.
You're still not forgiving them?
Well, why should I? Why should anyone?
Seems sorry enough. But yeah, there is potential for that to be at Elland Road. As far as I can gather, it's a bewildering set of rules in the Papa John's. But
it's Sean Harvey, isn't it, who conceived of this when he was in charge of the Football League? He might have been personally who decided it should be like this, but he was looking after it all.
Let's blame him.
Yeah. Have you seen the Wrexham documentary yet?
No, still not.
I do find... Have you seen it?
No, because he's in it.
Yeah.
Every fibre of my being is crying out, yearning to watch it, but I can't because I know he's in it, so no.
And there is an episode later on in the series, spoiler alert, where they are dead nice. Like Ryan Reynolds, who I think seems to be a really nice bloke, he's Deadpool, which is funny, and he's like just waxing lyrical about how great Sean Harvey is. Unfortunately,
thing is, they've not worked with another football administrator, have they?
No,
so they don't know.
Yeah. Although Bryn Law is in it, so Bryn Law does balance the force somewhat with Harvey being in it, but it needs more Bryn Law.
Is there any footage of Bryn Law knocking him out?
I haven't actually watched the final episode yet, so okay. There's still time.
Potential, then.
There is still time. Yeah, so Bielsa, we were mentioning there, start of the show, turning down jobs. And the reasoning for this, which people may have seen or not, is it's very Bielsa, extremely principled man.
I mean, I think his logic is correct, basically, that he can't compete against a team that's got his name on the stadium. So yeah. I think it's fair enough. And
this he was offered the River Plate job, wasn't he? And River Plate were in the same league as Newell's Old Boys, who play at the Marcelo Bielsa Arena. Look at that.
Is this shirt enough to keep him from taking another Premier League job? He can't go for another team in the same league as a group of fans who've made a shirt that looks like the shirt of his old team. Something like that.
They've said that's the new Admiral shirt. Michael's holding up for the benefit of the video version of this. Have a look on YouTube if you're just having a listen.
What colour is it, Moscow?
It's black. It's black.
It's black. Black. It's halved. Black on one side and
scarlet.
Scarlet on the other. Yes. Very good.
Because despite what it says on the
the lying label.
The label's an absolute pack of lies. So don't look at the label. Just look at the
label. The label is accurate in terms of the size.
Yes,
that should be straight. And the manufacturer.
The colours are mostly wrong.
It's our Admiral away kit, the square ball away kit for this season, which is a nod in the direction of Newell's Old Boys, to the extent that we were trending in Rosario overnight when people caught wind of this. Over there, so hopefully we'll be shipping a few over to Argentina. Available on our website, plug. Squareball.net. Have a look on there.
It is a nice. I mean, it's a typically Bielsist point where it's too much honour, but you do think about Steven Gerrard managing against Liverpool and Frank Lampard managing against Chelsea and all these kind of things. And what I suppose Leeds had it back in the day because Leeds faced teams managed by Alan Clark, I think, but certainly Norman Hunter and Bobby Collins turned up. With their, who was Bobby Collins manager? Norman Hunter was a manager of Barnsley for a bit. So all that was going on, it always struck me as quite weird. But I don't know. I've gone from wanting to slag off Steven Gerrard for not being up to that standard. Now going like, well, if it was all right for Norman Hunter.
I think when you've done it as a manager, it's somehow a bit different than having done it as a player. I don't know. It's very unusual to have a stadium named after you, isn't it? That is unprecedented.
What would you want named after you? If it was, let's go. Maybe, let's say a building.
Maybe this shoddily constructed studio, which I chopped the wood myself for this.
Not naming this after you.
Did it, when you say you chopped the wood, you mean you went to B&Q and bought it and then screwed it together? You you didn't go out into the fucking Bramley Woods and start chopping down trees?
No, I meant sods to be the right size.
What else do you do in the woods?
None of your business.
Okay. What about you, Moscow? If you'd like some sort of building named after you, what would you go for?
Far too humble for that.
Little telly. Mm. Take your own. We've got a little. Dan bought a label maker for the studio. Take your own little Moscow White's telly and stick it on the next little telly.
Do you want me to print you a label off?
No.
Excellent.
Can I have the Lowfields Tunnel? Spent a lot of time studying there.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
not a building as much as a space, is it?
Stinks of piss and it's covered in graffiti, so I think it'd be perfect. In a real state of disrepair.
Yeah, absolutely. Kinnear's programme notes versus Arsenal, mentioned of on the Phil Hayes show, I think it felt like a very mild shot across the bows, that, as in, come on, this has got to get better. Lackluster, not up to standard, was how the second half versus Palace was described. It was framed around collective responsibility at the club, wasn't it? As in, you know, we all at the club have to acknowledge that that was not good enough. But isn't it the manager's job to sort of say those things? I don't know.
It is, and it's the first time we've heard something like this about the football, isn't it, under Jesse? I think it's generally been more, things are going to come good, just trust the system and stuff, whereas this was more like, that wasn't great though, was it? Which we've not had much. Did we have much at the end of last season? I can't remember. I feel like it was more, togetherness.
After they'd sacked Bielsa, they scuttled away, didn't they? I mean, whereas this is the perils of Kinnear having his programme notes to fill, is essentially he has to put something in there if he's doing them, so he might as well slag Jesse Marsh off. Why not? Everyone else does.
Well, Jesse's applied a little bit of pressure with regards to the transfer window, which is what I meant at the start of the show when I said they're facing off. Is there going to be a row? Is there going to be a tear-up in the corridors of power at Elland Road? And it's in particular, these are the post-match comments, are they, from after the Arsenal game? It's a little bit early to discuss things. However, that was clearly a target of ours. This is moving in the transfer window. And we will assess the attacking part of the field as we move forward and figure out what we need to add.
He scuttled back on it a bit, though, didn't he? Then going out, but all the young players are good too, so maybe they're.
But to be fair, he did this towards the end of the transfer window, didn't he? Started running his mouth off a bit and then backtracked in that hastily arranged interview with Sky Sports.
Yeah, this was before the Arsenal game.
All right, okay.
And yeah, it was a question just about what you're going to do about Bamford. Basically, was the I'm pretty sure that's what the question was. So, yeah, and it, you know, we can't disguise it. We tried to sign a striker and. Yes, it was. The question was about Bamford's progress and what we would do in January, but it's all hypothetical, isn't it? Because I mean, if Bamford scores 10 goals between now and the World Cup, then fine. If he doesn't, then maybe we need to do something.
Be one hell of a return because we've only got about 5 games, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. When he's hot, he's hot.
Yeah, you need to check out on the website as well the artwork that Lee has done, our video guy for Propaganda Extra, which is the members' bonus show. Well, in which we discuss the important issues. We always get to the heart of the matter, don't we? Talking about man bonds and there is talk, I think it was Cooper, hopefully he was being serious, in his interview saying that Patrick Bamford was growing his hair to go for the old man bond. So we just ended up chatting about haircuts, which obviously we are very much the authority on in Leeds United world. But the artwork's great because Lee has mocked up Patrick Bamford with a man bond, so we could look and see what that would look like on Paddy's head.
It looks better than I expected, actually. I have wondered if he's aiming for the kind of the Haaland thing. Now that's, you know, a bit of the fashion.
What, scoring goals?
Well, scoring goals, but maybe he thinks that's how you do it.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if once Pazza ties it back that way, if it's Erling, takes a look at it and then goes, right, I'm changing it.
We are going to be talking about Alfie though, aren't we? That's why you mentioned it, because we've got a new show coming.
I mentioned it because my brain is coming out of my ears.
We've got a Golden Willy as well up front. That's good. He came, was it in the top 10 or something for that?
Well, he's on a shortlist for it's a weird award, the Golden Boy, which appears to be a public vote on a website called tutosport.com. So I'm not sure how legit it is. It feels kind of, I don't know, it feels a bit like a Twitter poll.
Like we've made up our own awards kind of thing. Should we do some awards?
I mean, he's not, to be clear, he's not winning it because you can actually see the results and Camavinga from Real Madrid is going to win it. So that's a shame. It's good to be on the list.
It almost kind of, this is speaking to that FIFA generation who care deeply about like the Ballon d'Or and things like that.
Mm.
That makes very little sense to me. But it's, I only included it because we've got a Golden Willy. That's the, tried to do a shit line about that,
trying
really.
Trying to do the joke.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And, but, you know, it's good we signed one of the 20 best young players in the world for hardly anything.
Gary McSheffrey, one of the most ungrateful loan signings that Leeds United ever made. Moscow, you don't like him, do you, because of that?
Well, it was his problem was with Simon Grayson's lack of gratitude for Gary McSheffrey's absolute joke of a loan spell at Leeds, and after he'd scored back to Coventry, never to score again, he was all moaning that he hadn't been like a Simon Grayson wasn't phoning him up and sort of grovelling and apologising for not signing.
Needy is the word I would say, Moscow. Needy.
Yeah, and I was quite surprised that he popped up. He's still only 40, but then he's managing
he's not.
This football team.
He's not
anymore.
I was
a bit surprised that that was what was going on.
Doncaster, wasn't it?
Yes. And yeah, he's gone. And so do you know who's taken over instead of
somebody less shit?
Well, I mean, that's I don't know anything either way about Chad Gribble.
Well, no, that's not a real name, is it?
It's a great name.
It is a great name. But we do know a lot about Paul Green.
Oh.
So they're in joint charge at the moment. Our energetic, all-action midfielder of the mid-2010s, Paul Green.
Michael, you've got
Dynamo, wasn't he?
He's got a storied history with Paul Green, haven't you?
Oh, so many stories.
Such as?
I've used the soft play that he has in Pontefract with my kids. I've seen him in Aldi.
Yeah. What did you buy in Aldi?
I didn't keep a close check.
I remember back in the DJing days.
He was chatting to someone though, he seemed nice.
Yeah. I went back in the DJing days, he came into the party room at Tiger Tiger with his missus, which was nice.
There you go.
Didn't speak to him.
So if anyone wants any messages passing on out to Paul Green, I'll hang around.
Do you still go to soft play?
Nah, I've kind of grown out of it really now. The nine, so they're not asked to go in ages, and I don't particularly want to go.
It's a hellscape.
It's awful, yeah. It's not something I'm going to offer unless prompted, so... yeah, I had a big picture of him playing against...
It's not really the dumb thing to go there as a solo adult, is it?
No, not so much. But he has a big picture of Lionel Messi and him on the wall. I'm sure Lionel Messi has a big picture of himself and Paul Green.
Has he been photoshopped somewhere, or is it an actual real?
That's really when he played for Ireland.
Okay.
You can tell from his... You remember how Irish he is, don't you?
Far, very much so, yeah. The Pontefract, that known exclave of Dublin. To Filbert Street. They're still at Filbert Street, aren't they?
Something like that.
The old Crisp Munchers down there in Leicester. Yes, the King Power. They're terrible at the minute.
Home of the Leicester model. Let's not forget the King Power.
Yeah, it's amazing how that's panned out from a narrative perspective, isn't it? That they were held up as the gold standard. And they still have gold elements on their kits as well. Probably a kind of a hangover from winning the league title, which was how many years ago now? Six, seven, something like that?
I mean, I'm not going to criticise them for harking back to something quite recently.
Imagine a bunch of losers winning the Premier League within the last decade. What a bunch of terrible,
and the
terrible winches.
Well, it's not like they missed out on it.
Yeah, and playing in Europe.
Banging on about it years later. No, I mean, the Leicester model is not going so well right now, is it?
And that's all that matters. All their history is now worthless. Everything they've ever won, everything that ever went right.
Well, they're stuck
all in the bin.
They're stuck in the past, Moscow, which is not something you could say about us.
Yeah, okay.
It seems to be that their defence is at the root of their problems, isn't it? Because they've got lots of talent going forward still. I mean, I know Vardy's a year older. Good that Maddison's suspended as well, because he is their top scorer. But at the back, they seem to have just completely lost their shit. Is this because, well, they sold Fofana, didn't they? And Schmeichel went to Nice, and he doesn't seem to be very Nice.
They've signed a perfectly good goalkeeper, though, to replace him, and are refusing to play him. They've got Alex Smithies, who obviously has a fantastic record of playing against Leeds. Mm. So stick him in.
So Alex Smith, just for anybody who doesn't know, doesn't remember, he was the keeper for Huddersfield. Was it four we stuck past him on that occasion?
I mean, he had a few occasions where he just completely lost his mind playing against us. There was the debut, I think it was his debut, when he was drafted in last minute as a 17-year-old and we put four past him. And
they were singing 4-0, it's your keeper's fault.
Yeah, and stuff about him being a virgin and stuff like that.
Yeah, about bullying children, basically.
Bullying
which,
a child.
Which is what Bolton did in that Papa John's pepperoni cup, whatever it's called.
That's true. But then he came back a few years later when he was actually established and was their first choice proper goalkeeper, did mad stuff again, just running out for balls he couldn't get, and he seemed to have several days against us where it all went quite badly wrong for him, so stick him in there.
But I didn't even realise he was at Leicester.
I didn't either till yesterday. I was looking at who they'd signed, because I remember at some point over summer they were saying Leicester are the only club to have not signed anybody was the stat going around.
Was that a lie?
It is now a lie, but only just because they got Smithies and in fact, Moscow, I need your pronunciation. Where did they sign Woot Faze from?
I thought you were going to make me say.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it either.
Woot Faze.
Woot Faze.
Sounds like when you're moving out of the Oot Faze into the Woot Faze.
The Woot Faze.
I don't know what the next phase will be. From Reims.
Reims. Oh, I thought you were going to go Reims.
Reims.
Reims. Reims. Or something.
Well, that, you see, what confused me here is it's a different team, isn't it?
I know it?
It
is, yeah. But so, I just wanted to hear, I know your pronunciation.
I can definitely say, but this is Reims. It's easy.
So it's
much easier to pronounce.
And Reims.
Yes.
Okay.
They've had one.
Where does Kylian Mbappe play?
Up front.
Oh, okay.
They've had one all season of Leicester. Was it they beat? Let's have a look. It was about two or three games ago. I should remember that, but I can't.
They beat Forest.
Of course they did,
which barely counts.
Yeah. So, God, they're actually... Are they bottom now then after Forest got that that point?
Yeah, they're kind of in a lot of bother. And the good news for us, yeah, James Maddison did a ridiculous dive against Palace right in the last minute as well, which was just the sweet spot to get him suspended for this.
Yeah, the problem is Harvey Barnes, though, isn't it? Because he scores against us every single time. So Maddison being out, whatever,
he's never come up against Rasmus before.
Mm.
In the form of his life, Moscow.
In the form of the past.
He's I mean, I am, of course.
He's done very well.
I'm being playful with that, but he has had a really good couple of last games, hasn't he? Yeah. So
I think it's the quality of our fullback is irrelevant against Harvey Barnes. Since he marched out of our training ground promising, he strolled out saying like, yeah, I'm going to be back tomorrow. I'll pick my shirt number. Like, really looking forward to this, and then went away, ha, 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 I'm signing for West Brom. He's made a point of scoring against us every single time, and that's what counts, and it doesn't matter. We could put Mel Sterland or Roberto Carlos on him, and it would be absolutely no difference.
We'll stop him. I've got a good feeling we'll stop him on Thursday.
We've got to get something from this, haven't we?
Yes. At least a point, if not three. I think three would make everybody just that relax that little bit more, because it is getting just a bit bunched up down there, isn't it? And we are just slightly, we're 19th in the form table, so that should tell you what the direction of travel has been recently. But a win would put us up to somewhere around mid-table again, wouldn't it? And it starts to stretch out that gap then to Leicester themselves. It would be 7-point gap then. I think we should do that. Should we just win?
WhoScored.com do say that we are set up to capitalise on their weaknesses. They are weak at defending against through ball attacks, and we saw a lot of those on Sunday. They're weak at avoiding individual errors. So they're a team of Rodrigo's. They're also very weak against defending counter-attacks and against long shots. So the two things we should try doing. Well, there's three things to try doing there, isn't there? We should try doing through-ball attacks, and then we should also try doing counter-attacks, and we should try having lots of long shots because they're weak against all those. So we do those things, we'll be all right. And they've also, their strengths are the absolute epitome of a failing team, where the top thing is shooting from direct free kicks.
Which is James Maddison.
Yeah, so if that's the best thing your team can come up with, you're really in a bad situation. And then also, they're strong at creating long shot opportunities, which is not the same as having long shots, is it?
No.
So they're quite good at being able to sort of pass it to one of their midfielders from 50 yards out and going, go on, hit that, and him going, I can't. So that's them. And they also do create chances using through balls, but that's just because they've got Jamie Vardy, isn't it? So they just try that. And unfortunately, doesn't work, and it won't work against us. we will win.
It should be set up for us because they're a good blend of a team that try to play football and won't time waste, but are currently terrible.
Mm.
So it should play into our hands.
And also, Brendan Rodgers is having a proper old flap.
Mm.
He's in full panic mode at the moment. It's just like, he's even just now, I've seen a tweet where he's going, I know the narrative out there is all about I'm going to get sacked, but you know, I'm just focusing on the next game, and I leave all the narrative to everybody else. It's like, you're struggling here, Brendan.
He's talking about the narrative, isn't he?
Yes.
So
he's narrating the narrative, even like who used to do Postman Pat?
I don't know. I can only think of Ringo Starr and Thomas the Tank Engine.
That's a better example. Or whoever happened to be presenting Play Days that week.
There's sort of an air of us last season about them, is that
it's the why bird stop.
That you're kind of waiting for them to kick in and think, well, it's Leicester, they're not that bad, but they are pretty bad, aren't they?
They've fucked up in quite a significant way, which is quite easy to sort of find, which is helpful. It's good when you can sort of see where it's all gone wrong, because then you can see how difficult it is for them to put it right. They said at the end of the last season, Brendan Rodgers was saying, we need several new players for next season, otherwise we're going to be in trouble. And then they signed absolutely nobody, sold two of the good players, and now they are absolutely in trouble. So it's like there's a big, and Brendan Rodgers is going to get the sack for it, which is hilarious. But that was him at the end of last season. It's like, this has all been fine. They got to mid-table, didn't they? They weren't terrible. But he was like, unless we get some new bodies in, particularly in defence for next season, we're going to struggle. And that's exactly what's happened.
And
exactly
how about
what they're doing.
We sell some people instead.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
So the It's weird. They've completely stopped doing the Leicester model for this year, and then it's all collapsed quite predictably. And that's good, because there's no way really of getting out of that. It's not like, I think with us getting into trouble a bit, it's kind of, if we are getting into trouble. But the difference, I guess the difference with us is we feel like a team that's trying to, like, we did a load of stuff and now we're trying to put it all together. So we bought five players and we're trying to get some consistency with a new coach. Whereas they had to do something, didn't do it, and now they're in the shit. So getting out of that is more difficult than we are in that position of, we've got something that should be working and we're trying to, like, getting the cranking the engine on an old car.
What you're trying to get at, Moscow, I can see what you're searching for this one, is they're at the end of a cycle and it feels like we're at the start of one, maybe.
They're fucked, we're not.
And also, they've got injuries. Pereira's out quite long term, isn't he? And Didi's got a thigh injury. Evans is doubtful. Bertrand is also out because he's waiting for an op. So we've now found 1,000 reasons why we should win this.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is that we actually do.
Yes. Back to where it all began for Jesse. It was his first game, wasn't it, Leicester away?
Played all right.
It was promising. Mm-hmm. It was good. It seemed we basically did all the Bielsa attacking stuff, but just didn't man mark from memory. And it seemed kind of fine. We should have got something from it.
Yeah, Junior Firpo. Didn't he at the bar?
He may have done.
Yeah, he was getting into their box and playing really well.
Bamford to start?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so as well.
I think Bamford to start, and I think maybe this is where he gets his goal. And I hope it just goes in off his arse or something like that.
Mm.
Just one to bobble in for him, so he can just exercise the ghosts of the penalty and, you know, missing, and, you know, just shake the Bamfordiness off.
Scored a lovely goal against Leicester in that first season.
Yeah,
didn't
it was like the 4-1.
Yes, was it 4-1?
Let's say 4-1.
Might have been 3.
It might have been 3-1, I think.
Yeah, it was a great goal.
I'm going for 4.
Took it.
Shall I check?
But that, to see Pat Bamford hitting a ball like that, feels like a different player, doesn't it? It's the one we saw on the weekend, like panicking a bit and struggling. And
well, this was it with the argument you were having with me when I wasn't here about whether he had any good chances against Arsenal. It's all very well looking at a big circle on an XG map, but then when you look at what actually happened for each of those big circles, the ball was just kind of...
It was 3-1.
Bouncing about between his ankles and his knees and never sort of sitting in a position where you'd think he can just swing his leg through and hit that. Mm. Maybe his fault that he couldn't get it under control that way. The one with where he belted it into Aaron Ramsdale's bollocks was a good chance. And the thing with that was, maybe he could hold that against him because he intercepted the pass really well, but that chance fell victim to the fact that Pat Bamford's first touch is not Jack Harrison's. So as he intercepted it, he sent himself a little bit wide and made the chance a little bit more difficult. But the other ones, when we did actually get him into the box, there was just never, you were waiting for the ball to just kind of, or hoping the ball would just go that little bit off to one side so we could put a foot through it.
Mm.
And it never sort of got out from under him. So that's why I didn't consider them to be like clean, clear-cut chances that you just expect him to run onto a ball and side-foot it home. It was always just, he was in the position and he had the ball, but he didn't have just that clean strike on. And the settle for Somerville shouldn't be ignored as well, because that was, Somerville should have buried that as well. But he's not far away. And I think as well,
it needs to click, doesn't it? It just needs to click into gear for him.
But it's just finishing. And that can come and go. It was always the one thing Bielsa said he wouldn't train it, because you can't. It's just, it's up to the player to just finish it when they get there. But I think the more important thing with Bamford on Sunday was, when I watched it back, the difference in the second half and how he made the whole attacking performance happen was just amazing and definitely worth it. It makes me think, start him. And even if he misses two chances, somebody's got to bury one. We'll make more chances with him in the team. So even if he misses the ones that fall to him, there should be more chances falling to other players because he is there. And it almost makes you wonder, because the other question is, why didn't we buy another one or somebody who can stand in for him? But then when you see the difference he specifically makes, it's kind of like, well, who else is there? There will be somebody, but like, how much you have to pay and who else is there to get who can make that immediate impact, half fit, coming into a second half against the team that's leading the league table? Rodrigo can't do it, and we spent £30 million for him, and we've had, you know, several other sort of junior attempts at playing the Bamford role. Nobody does it like Bamford. And so let's just hope he stays fit and scores as well, because the scoring will get people off his back, won't it? Maybe has a haircut, because I don't know if the either tie it back very soon or go back to being short back and sides, because the in-betweeny thing doesn't seem to be doing a great deal for him. I'm not growing a man bun, but I feel like I need a haircut. And I think I look at him and think, you're not looking in the mirror every morning, Pat, and thinking, this has got to go one way or the other. It seems like his hair grows really slowly because he's been working on that for a long time, getting it to this point, but it's still not at the point where he can like tie it back or style it or something. So he needs, he's approaching like a critical situation in our season is what haircut is Bamford finally going to choose.
Yeah. We were saying that it's like, when you weren't here, we were saying it's much like your hair and it doesn't grow really long, it just grows out.
Yeah, I did during lockdown, I just let it go and ended up, if you see Tim Burgess out the Charlatans and he has that huge bowl cut,
I was thinking Bob Ross.
No, it's not Bob Ross. It doesn't go...
From the Jive. Is it the Jive painting he does?
Yeah, it's not tight and curly. It just goes kind of wavy. But yeah, it was just a big bowl cut that was kind of across my nose. I was ready to sort of go and join Ride back in 1991 or something. And yeah, and then I decided... It was coming to the point because I often wear a hat and I couldn't actually put the hat on because it kept springing back up again because it's quite strong hair.
I've got strong hair. What an outrageous claim.
It's strong.
Strong hair.
It's strong.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Back to Leicester.
You could transport vehicles over a bridge.
Back to Leicester.
Instead of a bridge, even, that makes more sense.
The note of caution is that, you know, the Premier League is very competitive and it's very hard to win games. So we just need to be not complacent about this one and go out there and work our bollocks off to get this win. Which they will, you know, they always work very, very hard. But I think just from our sort of fans' mental perspective, not to think, you know, that this is going to be a walk in the park, because no game in the Premier League is a walk in the park.
Yeah. Coming off the back of Arsenal, though, you think, given the form of relative form of Leicester and Arsenal, if we play anything like we played against Arsenal, we will surely win this game.
I'm not predicting.
I know form doesn't work like that because... Yeah. Having watched the Palace game, you would have had no idea we were going to play well against Arsenal. The logical thing to say would be, well, we'll probably lose about 4-0.
Yeah. First half at Palace was decent.
Yeah, it was.
So
but I think have a
decent first half at Leicester, score a goal, and then have a decent second half.
Had a decent first half against Arsenal as well.
I was just going to say, I'm not predicting that we'll win. I always like to think that Leeds will win. I'm just telling them to win.
I think we need
to
win.
Just go and do it.
What happens if we don't win?
Then we either draw or lose, don't we?
We get all tense about Fulham, which I don't want.
Yeah.
Although I'm a bit tense about that anyway, because I think we do need to win that.
Yeah.
Although what happens if we don't win that?
This is what I'm asking you.
I don't know.
It puts us in pretty hot water if we lose both these games this week. It puts us in hot water. So let's not think about it.
Okay.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think denial is a very, very important quality.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go with the Leeds win.
Okay.
Here we pick the week's heroes and villains then. The scores, we've got those from our TSB Plus members. From the Arsenal game, man of the match, Brendan Aaronson. Will he feature in Hero of the Week, Michael?
He does get some mentions. A lot of Leeds players are heroes this week, and only a couple of villains.
We'll mention some of the scores as we go. You don't need to hear them all. We are tracking these across the season. Player of the Year, we'll update that as well in just a minute or two. Jesse got 6.8 out of 10. decent-ish score. I thought he might have scored a bit higher than that.
Didn't win, did we?
This is true.
0 points. He's a bit like Pat Bamford, I think, this week, in that his average score relates to the fact that he did a lot of good stuff, but not the bit he needed.
Yeah. He also had the opportunity to be scored. I apologise again to anyone who was wondering.
Did you forget Bamford?
I didn't think so, because I have to add the substitutions onto the form that people go to the rate them that our TSB Plus members can interact with as they happen, because I don't know who that idiot's going to bring on, do I? Could be anybody. He's got 10, 15 players to choose from.
Too many.
And I was pretty sure I'd put Pat Bamford on, but only realised later that I didn't. So we rated him separately.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to all the various nominations as we go, the various scores, sorry. Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award first. Nominations, so we've got a few. Arteta features Rodrigo and Bamford as a pair. A few people nominated together. Rodrigo himself, solo. Same with Bamford. The electricity people get a nod. Gabriel, Jesse himself, Martinelli, Arsenal, and VAR get a few too. So any that you want to jump on there.
Gabriel was really annoying, wasn't he?
Mm.
So maybe him. He gets my vote. End of thing. End of section. No, we didn't probably talk about how annoying he was, because he was really, really getting in Bamford's face at the penalty as well. Just would not leave him alone, to the extent where you think that's
he was chirping in his ear all the way
that's
down.
That's a referee's job as well, isn't it? To go, just fuck off, eh?
You'd think so. Is that the exact thing? That was the taught on the training courses.
Mate, fuck off.
Just tell them, if you're in this situation, tell the player to fuck off. I was impressed as well with, I mean, it's a shame that it has to be necessary, but Pascal Struijk guarding the penalty spot from Granit Xhaka, who went with the intention of kicking it to rough it up, and Struijk had to go and stand there. I think the referee at one point was like, you need to move away. And it's like, well, I can't, because he's going to come and start kicking it. So it's such a bunch of absolute babies.
Well,
they're all millionaires.
Speaking of that, as Ender has mentioned, saying Gabriel jumped forward to head it and missed. This is the disallowed goal. Like an unsteady toddler trying to head a balloon thrown by his soon-to-be disappointed father. Get him in the fucking bin.
Yeah, I mean, the disallowed goal was penalised essentially for Gabriel's lack of strength.
Yeah.
And he will be a very strong person.
Yeah,
I
looks
imagine.
Big, doesn't he?
Yeah, you don't do all the exercise that a professional footballer does and be that piss weak. But it's the same with why... it's all a bit mixed up as well with Bamford then floundering around when Gabriel kicked out at him at the end. Like, there's absolutely no reason. And you could see by the fact he got up straight away that there was no reason for him to go down like that, apart from to send the message to the referee, that man has kicked me, so I have to throw myself in the air so that you see it. And then, I guess, I don't know if this comes up in the villain nominations for Bamford, but when he was through and he got pulled back, go down. Mm. And he's cheating, and I don't want him to be... Well, it's not cheating. It's only cheating because referees don't see that stuff and penalise it. If you are running through on goal and you get pulled back and you choose to keep going and have a shot, you should get the free kick.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to
still a foul.
You shouldn't have to pretend to go down or throw yourself in the air so that the referee... But then we're dealing with a referee who, for everything that he had on the day with the electricity people and all the stuff that was ruining his life, didn't give anything for the handball when... Saliba, was it Saliba who caught it?
Yes, I think so.
Just caught it in the 6-yard box. It's like, well, I think we better play on here. Just so expecting him to be able to spot when a shirt is being tugged as a player is running through. They've given up since VAR came in. Stop looking.
I was going to say, it's interesting that you say about, you know, you've got to go down to get the free kick. If only there was a system where they could look at something again, so you could stay on your feet and try your best, but then if someone on watching a video feed could go, it looks like he's been pulled back there.
Mm. Yeah, so play the advantage in real time, and if the advantage is then taken away from you.
If only such a thing existed.
Yeah, they should develop that. They should think about that. You're right, actually. Bamford gets mentioned here in the villainy nominations, which feels a bit mean because he contributed a hell of a lot, but I think James perhaps sums it up best, and Bamford did score 6.46 out of 10. I thought, I say, it might have been a bit higher than that. James is more concerned than annoyed. Is he actually okay? He's looked pale and weak ever since he came back. Someone needs to give him some red meat and a hug.
He gets flustered, does Bamford, doesn't he? And I think a flustered Pat Bamford with his hair all crazy all over the place, it can look a little bit desperate when it's not going for him.
So it was great with the incident at the end. It was, and I hate it, but I also love it because it makes me laugh, is when after he'd gone down and then he got up to yell at me, then turned around and was like, right, I'm telling the teacher. Look around, where's the referee? Like, have you seen what he's done? And I love it when he goes running off to tell the teacher. It's so funny. He's not even back yet. I think that's the thing. People are writing him off. He's finished. He's never going to do anything. He's played. How long did he play at Palace? Did he play at Palace?
He did. He played the first half. He missed that good chance.
Yeah. And then a half against Arsenal. And he's still, I know it's a drag that it's taking so long to get him fully up and running again. But people are kind of judging him before he is actually back. This is all part of the process. You know what they could have done to avoid that judgment?
Do you know what they could have done?
Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it. You know what I'm thinking, though.
I know what I'm thinking. Jason has said, actually, about Bamford, can't cling on to this rusty tag forever.
But it's only been a couple of weeks.
But it's been like 18 months, I think, is the thing.
Exactly. So it takes a long time to come back. And I think the trade-off, and it is annoying that it's taking so long, but a player with his record in the Premier League, recent record before he got injured, is a player that you want. And so talk about signing a replacement as well, but there's not many players around who have scored as many goals as he has in a season in the Premier League. So he has a great value to this team that is worth just a little bit of patience.
He also got absolutely hammered by COVID as well, didn't he, towards the back end of the season, while simultaneously being a new dad, which, you know, it's hard work, isn't it?
He's got shoes to sell, isn't he? And so he's
saving the planet with his shoes as well. Exactly. So he's busy helping Greta out. But you've had kids, Michael, and obviously you had twin boys. The early years, the early months, it's hard, especially with twins.
It's full survival mode. It genuinely is, because I mean, I'm sure it's possibly a different setup. If you've got like a load of money, you can probably accommodate some staff or something. I don't know if they have, though, in fairness. If you're trying to do it yourself, though, yeah, it's really fucking hard, isn't it?
Sometimes you slot in the view of a professional when you get one in that interview. Well, not really an interview, but that video when the Arsenal fans TV people found Jermaine Beckford and told him what they thought. The one bit that Beckford got out where he was like, Bamford was brilliant today. You know, it takes one to know one, and like Beckford knows. And so I would take that from him. Goals will come.
Yes.
For a bit. And they'll stop again. They'll be angry.
You mentioned the electricity people in there. Are we blaming Northern Power Grid for this? It's hard to know exactly where this responsibility lies, because it seemed to be a power surge that they dealt with pretty quick, but it was the VAR that got knocked out, wasn't it? I mean, Northern Power Grid seemed to do their bit pretty quick. I mean, they got rated 2.76 out of 10 by RTSB Plus members. It was good that you added that onto the sheet, Moscow.
Yeah, I didn't put Bamford on, but I did have the presence of mind to give people the opportunity to rate the national grid.
So I think 2.76 is high, I would say.
I think some people, it depends how you interpret the question. It's like whether you wanted the game to be sort of stopped and not played, in which case, cracking. It was fairly, the actual power cut, you're right, the lights flickered and everything came back on. It was the need to recalibrate VAR and all that kind of stuff that seemed to be the big problem. And I guess it's a little bit, we got an insight into what they must have to do before every game. I wonder if somebody has to go out there before every match and put a ball through the posts. And
too busy doing that and not thinking about actually being a good ref, aren't they? Mm. I mean, Benjamin Franklin gets folded into this by Zach, who's well annoyed. It feels a bit unfair, having not met him, but Benjamin Franklin, this twat, discovers something as unreliable and fluky as electricity and then gets slapped on the $100 US, the US $100 bill. Discover something useful like trees, prick.
Who did discover trees?
I think they've just been there for a while, haven't they?
Sir John Tree, wasn't it?
Absolutely correct. Rodrigo obviously gets mentions in this for his wild...
It's a lot of mentions.
Wild.
Let's be honest, an awful lot of mentions.
Crossfield ball. Does it bear repeating? We understand. I mean, there's lots of swear words. There's lots of character assassination here.
We know all about it, don't we? Rodrigo is nominated as villain for all the reasons that you think he's been nominated as villain.
It depends, yeah. Do we fully pile in, or we just go, look, we're all angry. Okay. It's not worked. That pass was something else.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Against logic and expectation of teammates on the pitch as Wisconsin Todd, among other stuff about it being absurdist performance art and avant-garde things that are really above my intellectual level. It goes on a while.
Let's go in on Arteta, because I'm glad that Baggy and James Weller and Boney Emin straight from Doncaster. Boney M. don't mention it. Him and James doesn't either. But two out of the four, stay in your technical area and shut your mouth. I was watching him a bit. It's petty. It's one for the book of petty grievances.
We need to resurrect that, by the way.
He is always just about a foot outside of his technical area. Mm. And I think if whatever, however big his technical area was, he could have miles to roam and he would just go and stand a foot outside it. And he'd be going, duh, 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 and just talking to his players constantly. And there was one bit where Ben White went to take a throw in and he gives him the ball. And while he's there, he's telling him all this stuff.
Get out an iPad.
Absolutely no way Ben White was taking in any of it. And I don't think any of the players, it's this kind of weird micromanaging where as a throw-in's about to be taken, for example, Arteta is outside of his technical area, almost with a foot on the pitch going like, you need to stand there. You need to move over there. You go over there. You move over there. And I think in 5 seconds, as soon as the throw-in's taken, all that goes away. But he's saying, well, you have to do all this. And as a player, you must get sick of him. At least with the old Neil Warnock stuff, it wouldn't be micromanagement. It would be this belligerent knobhead in the dugout going, Brownie, run! Fine. But when you've got somebody going like, no, 2 steps that way. No, 2 steps back the other way. No, you need to go over there. No, you mark it. And players don't need that.
You're exasperated, aren't you?
Premier League footballers know what they're doing. And I pity them. And I think best thing, I know they're top of the league. Think how much better they would be without that pillock micromanaging them.
Can I just ask about his hair? Because you were talking about your strong hair earlier, Mosco.
Yeah.
Boney Emma said that Arteta, he says, I just don't like the Lego haired fuckwit. You've got quite Lego-y hair.
Yeah, me and John Lukic. I think, he's very tight with it though, isn't he? Whereas,
I've
got a bit more bounce.
James has also picked out his hairline and said he dresses like he should work in a call centre, which I quite like. You can imagine walking around with a headset on, can't you? In fact, he might want a headset.
Oh, that'd be next thing. And he'd have little earpieces in each one of his players.
Yeah.
He would.
They do that in the gridiron, don't they? The NFL. They can talk to the players, I think.
But between plays, you know, it would be like in a game of gridiron going, don't run into him, run into the other one. Going that way, leave them alone, is what I'm saying, Mikko.
Yeah, we had some other nominations. Martinelli gets picked out by a couple of people just for general annoyances, time wasting, and so on and so forth.
Jelly also nominates Arsenal as a whole for employing someone in central midfield. We'll go skip past that.
LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Do they do libel and slander? Are we slander?
We didn't do anything.
No, we didn't do. I'm just saying, but if you needed to speak to, I'm sure they could advise appropriately, but yeah. Arsenal for that. And VAR gets obviously the customary nominations because why not? Because it's football and it happens every week and it's tiresome.
Well, shit though.
And we had to wait half an hour for it as well. We don't normally have to have that full boot up process.
Did you
BIOS.
Did you hear what we said on propaganda about fixing it? Like Michael advocated doing it like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style.
Oh yeah.
Where we give 100 people keypads and they've got 30 seconds to decide what the outcome is.
Well, it was
Wisdom of Crowds, Moscow.
It was sort of interesting because I heard, I listened to the Phil Hayes show as well, I think, where he was saying that the goal was one of those where if it was given your way, you'd be happy with it and like you wouldn't expect it to go the other way. But then you had the clip of all the Arsenal fans going, oh, that should have been a goal. And I think so that you'd expect if you put VAR into the hands of football fans, it would just go along tribal lines. But I think it sort of, amazingly, it was Arsenal Fans TV coming up with the most reasonable assessment where it's like, and it was the same, we've had it as well with some offsides that are against us, where it's like, just give them the goal. Don't keep us hanging on for 5 minutes to draw a line. Just let them have the goal and then we'll try and score two and that'll be a much more entertaining
afternoon.
We'd
rather just get on with playing the sport.
And it was funny listening to the Arsenal fans coming up with that. They were just like, yeah, that should be a goal. Just, and I'm sure, I think we would all be happier. We'd get more out of it. It's like, yeah, give them a goal and then we'll try and score two. And that's a more entertaining day out at the football than hanging around while somebody draws some pixels on a computer screen miles away.
And if it was given as a goal, it probably would have stayed as a goal because it would have gone with the on-field decision, so why is it there?
Do you know what this is? This is a clear and obvious pile of boring shit. Who's your villain of the week?
Rodrigo.
I suppose it probably has to be, don't
it? We lost the whole game because of him. There's no getting around it.
He was the low scorer as well with 3.53 out of 10.
Although we got a lot better when Bamford came on, and he might not have come on as quickly had Rodrigo not done that pass and then completely fallen apart.
So are you suggesting it was a good thing that we went behind so we could chase the... Let's move on to the Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week Awards, then, someone who's done good by us this time. An update on the player of the year, by the way. We fed all the scores into the supercomputer that we get sent in, and our hero of the year, our player of the year, Melier, still top three.
I had to upgrade the spreadsheet this week.
Oh, has it gone down to three decimal places out of 10?
Has it gone?
Because we asked for a score, but we obviously average it all out.
So yeah, Melier's average for the year, 7.113. Aronson, 7.112.
Oh, that's absolutely agonisingly, excitingly close. And then Tyler Adams is
miles behind.
Third with 7.063. Jesse Marsh not on the sheet, but we'll update it. He was hovering around somewhere around the six mark, wasn't he? Anyway.
5.77.
5.77.
Is his average now, yes.
Out of 10 for the season. 5 point. I'll put that on the sheet. There we go. Full listings, by the way. We'll be tracking this across the course of the season in the mag, so have a look at that. Right. What do we want to talk about in terms of heroes? Bamford gets hero nominations. Rasmus, Aronson, Strouk, Koch, Jesse himself, Sinisterra, Adams, and then that's it pretty much. Apart from that, Anthony Taylor gets a mention, the referee, for breaking the rules and sending Jurgen Klopp off, although he's now not been banned, has he?
Not automatically, no.
No.
And did you see what he did? Basically, the linesman was running past him and he like leant into him and screamed at him as he was trying to just do his job.
Was it a worse crime than Jesse's?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Because Jesse was mainly bothering a fourth official, wasn't he?
And Jesse, I don't know if this is one of the reasons why he's been nominated. Does it get mentioned? No, but it should, because he was calm.
Yep.
He was calm.
There was a lot in that game to test him. And I mentioned it on the match ball that it was conspicuous during the sending off, then not sending off at the end, that he was just kind of standing, waiting and watching it back. I noticed he was telling Junior Firpo not to shout at the ref while he was watching VAR. And he was like, shh, everybody, let him do his job. Actually, and let's all pretend we don't mind.
At the start, you know, when they're having problems right at the very start with the referee's equipment and all that, when he first walked over, I wasn't quite sure what was going on. I hadn't spotted about the whole power cord. I hadn't joined the dots yet. And I thought, because he went and spoke to Marsh, didn't he? Like, first I thought, oh God, what's he done?
Because he comes straight out. straight off. Bunch of wankers.
Straight off after a minute. Yeah, and Mick Sheffrey gets mentioned for getting sacked by Doncaster and making you happy, Moscow. So loads of positive Leeds nominations for Hero of the Week this week.
I mean, Marsh does get one nomination from Jelly, saying not for brilliant coaching, but for picking Harrison, Sinisterra, Aronson and thinking, fuck it, I'll pick their position for the game out of a hat. Oh, they're all in the wrong position. Let's just go with it. 4D chess stuff.
Love it.
So it's a bit of cynicism still, but yeah, Jackie's attend didn't work. I didn't think particularly.
But we were playing well with him there.
Yeah, I suppose it was... Overall, it was fine, but I don't think he excelled there particularly.
What didn't work about it was that we didn't have a nine. It was because Rodrigo kept dropping so deep, and Rodrigo was doing some... The best thing I can remember Rodrigo doing was... there were two good things. There was one really good chest pass that went out wide to Aronson that set us on the attack, but that's the one where he then just stood on halfway and watched. And there was another one where he drove into the box. But he was never there as a nine, so Jackie, looking for somebody to pass to... Can't do it. You'd have to turn around and look for him. Whereas it would have been interesting perhaps to see Haradonna still being there with Bamford in front of him.
I think the thing with Bamford being on, I do think it drives the whole team further forward because Bamford actually is the furthest player forward. So therefore everyone else pushes forward to cross the ball or pass the ball to him. Yeah. Whereas Rodrigo, when he's dropping deep, you look ahead of you and you're like, well, nothing out wide, nothing up front. What do we do?
Well, the two,
and you can play those passes to him as well that are beyond the last defender. And as he runs after them, everybody else can run after him. So it just brings everybody up. And even if he doesn't get there, you know, if it goes out for a goal kick or something, which I don't think many did on Sunday, we were pretty good with actually finding him. It just gets everybody further forward. And yeah, he was good.
The two star turns then in terms of the ratings were Aronson, who got man of the match, 7.58, and Rasmus just behind, 7.55. A couple of nominations for both of those. Aronson in particular, House of Stoats / Stouts picked Aronson for being fantastic, just going forward, dragging people out of position, being a nuisance, chopped the ball out of players defensively multiple times, controlled the game, can't wait to sell him next summer. God bless that Leeds United cynicism.
He'll be here as long as... Well, actually, I mean, the history with him and Rasmus, who have been nominated together, was... the running joke at Red Bull was that Christensen didn't like him.
Right.
So I was just like, oh, I can't stand this kid. He's always annoying me. And that was why it was a beautiful moment when Aronson tried to do like a chest bump with him, but stopped about a foot in front of him. And then
terrified.
Settled for just kind of turning away and going, whoa, yeah,
was
yeah.
Was that the bit in the first half where Aronson chased some ball down and then got really like fired up about it?
Yeah, he got like kind of clotheslined in the face by Martinelli and then went down and got up and was like trying to go chest to chest with Rasmus. He was like, yeah. And I've not had the time to write it all down this week, but I wanted to. He's just such a cutie when he's angry.
he weighs about 8 stone as well, exactly. Doesn't he? So he's just got zero physical threat.
8 stone when soaking wet.
Yeah. I started marching off looking all tough and fired up, and I was just giggling. It's like, come on.
Yeah, Bamford gets a few nominations, people backing him much in the same way that the Ellen Road crowd did at full time and sang his name as well, which I think is a nice, there's a nice togetherness about that. And all we want is just for him to find the net and then everyone's happy.
And he did.
Yeah.
Referee fucking stole one off him, didn't he?
It's so true.
That he should have.
He should have had a hat trick.
And he's waiting for the other thing. And I don't know if it, I think it will be on his mind because Bamford tracks these things, but it's going to be his 100th goal, isn't it? Mm. So that doesn't help. Of all the goals to have to wait, like that you want to score on your comeback from, you know, a year out and all the pressure on you and everybody writing you off and saying you're going to be coming back and are your legs actually all right? And then you're stuck on 99 goals as well for a striker who I think does keep an eye on, kind of pays attention to numbers and things and status and, you know, the things that you do when you are a goal scorer. He needs that goal and he scored it. He did everything he needed to do to score that goal within 30 seconds of coming on the pitch as well. So bastards. He's a hero in my eyes.
Bastards, aren't
Didn't
they?
Think I'd be saying that the FA conspiracy. In 2018.
It's the FA conspiracy, isn't it? Rachel wants to give a nod at the other end of the pitch. The big sexy pirate and the big sexy pilot. Now, I wish I thought of that. Mm. Talking about Strouk and Cock. Top class defenders with top class moustaches. The calm and consistent performers in the team this season. Absolutely.
It's interesting. Cock's nominations pretty much all come from people saying he needs some recognition. He wasn't the best player in this game, but he's just dead good every week.
Yeah.
So give him some love.
Yep.
And this is it. Well done. Is that not enough for you?
Quickly give a mention to Sinisterra before we pick a winner, because he was, again, very, very good and just has the ability to turn into space just in a way that, you know, he's just got that little bit of magic in his feet.
He looks dangerous, doesn't he? Yeah. That shot was pretty far wide that he had in the first half, but it was still a decent effort, and
he should have scored as well.
The more he does of those, so the one in the first half we drilled it wide, and then there was the one I think we might have been called for offside in the build up when Aronson got through. If it had been an issue, he looked offside, but booted it off Gabriel. But it wasn't a bad attempt from Sinisterra. And then what was the other thing that he did? He's just good. I don't think he's going to be a good player.
So we've heard about the rankings and the scores from our TSB Plus members, but we need to crown Hero of the Week. Are we going to go against what they've suggested? Maybe do we go for Bamford? He's the yin to the yang of Rodrigo.
Did we mention Adams yet?
We didn't.
Because he gets a few nominations.
Yeah, he's got second highest, wasn't he? Actually,
he did very well. And lots of people just said basically he's awful to play against because he is just a complete menace. And also Thomas pointed out that he was the one standing up to Arsenal players when they were trying to upset Pat.
And he tried to stamp on a man's chest, so that's good.
Try harder.
Yeah. I mean, if you believe Martinelli would tell you that he did. Anyway, who's your hero of the week? Do you want to give it to Bamford? For change in the
controversial, attack? Controversial, because he had a fair number of villain nominations.
I feel
too.
like as Moscow was saying, like he's a sensitive soul, this Patrick. Mm. And I feel like by backing him now, it'll give him the platform to score against Leicester.
I'm happy to give it to him. That second half performance was superb. Take the goals out. Can't do that. He's a striker. He's judged on goals. He played really well and was the key player in our best performance of the season so far.
And if he doesn't use this as fuel for scoring against Leicester, we'll dismantle him next week.
Fair enough.
Yeah, good. Well, there you go. Congratulations, Patrick, our hero of the week. You know, and the week's not done yet. This is the important point, isn't it? We're recording this ahead of the Leicester game. The week's not done. Do you want to give it as a provisional hero of the week and maybe...
No, we'll give it now and then on the Friday morning when we're waiting for the updates from the hospital for the scan on his foot, then we'll send him a follow-up sympathy card.
sorry. Yeah, okay, then we'll revisit this and we'll see whether we were right or not as well. So provisionally, congratulations.
No, he can have it for this, and then we'll worry about it next week.
If he lets us down?
No. How many players have we nominated? Have we awarded hero and villain?
Yeah, that's
all
true.
Of them, probably at some point.
That wraps it up then for this week. We'll be back with a match ball late on bloody Thursday. Stupid Amazon fixture.
Bezos. Yeah. Blame Bezos.
8:15 kickoff in the UK, which is just, it's too late. I was watching it nearly at bedtime last night and it was a shit game.
Imagine if there's another power delay. Could be finished the day after.
Whatever. Yeah, well, National Grid, you only scored 2.76 out of 10. Up your game. We'll speak to you later in the week.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.